Welcome to Voices of Better Medicine as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about the health issues and the questions that matter to you. Hi there, I'm Robin Rock, and joining me today is Dr. Robbie Callahan. Dr. Callahan is a pulmonologist and director of the asthma and COPD program at Northwestern Medicine.
Dr. Callahan, we want to talk a little bit about vaping. Nearly 5% of adults currently use e-cigarettes or vapes. I was wondering if maybe you could explain why vaping has increased over the years, particularly among young adults.
You know, a lot of the increase in vaping has to do with a pretty wide availability of vaping products. And in their earlier period of development, a lot of targeted advertising towards youth. And then they are quite high in nicotine. And nicotine is highly addictive. And the more one uses nicotine, the more one craves nicotine.
What do we know about the health effects of vaping? And how does that compare to traditional cigarette smoking?
It's probably true when someone says vaping, because it does not involve combustion, is less harmful than cigarette smoke. That said, vaping still involves inhaling a vapor, and inhaling a vapor that has toxins in it. They're not set on fire, so there's perhaps less toxins than would be if they were set on fire, but they're still inhaled. And you know, the lungs were built to inhale clean, fresh air, and inhaling vapors is still harmful.
Well, if you're just now joining us, you are just in time for Voices of Better Medicine as we talk to the experts at Northwestern Medicine about health issues and questions that matter to you. I'm Robin Rock, and joining me today is Dr. Robbie Callahan. Now, Dr. Callahan is a pulmonologist and the director of the Asthma and COPD program at Northwestern Medicine.
I think a lot of us have heard that vapes are recommended as a tool to help people quit smoking. I just wonder if there's evidence to support that.
There is some. There have been studies of using vaping as a tool to reduce smoking. That's predicated on this idea that vaping would be less harmful than smoking for someone who smokes. I don't think it's the first line tool to help someone quit smoking, though. There are well-studied tools to help someone quit smoking, including nicotine replacement, some medical therapies with pills that help people crave cigarettes less, and counseling and management programs and support programs that help someone sustain their motivation to quit smoking. And those have been studied by the FDA. They're approved for use. They have a safety record. Our smoking cessation program at Northwestern Medicine uses those tools and helps patients quit quite successfully. There are some smokers, however, who continue to smoke because they must inhale something. And they find that those smoking cessation tools that are approved by the FDA and well-studied don't work. And in those cases, it may be true that vaping is a good exchange for cigarette smoking because it contains less harmful compounds than cigarette smoke does, but still harmful. The challenge there is that the studies show that a large number of those individuals don't, in fact, quit smoking cigarettes. They just start doing both things. So I think, you know, the balanced perspective is the best way to quit smoking is to use FDA-approved tools in the context of a smoking cessation program. And then for someone who's truly recalcitrant and just can't quit smoking, not because they don't want to, but because it's hard to quit smoking, then maybe vaping is a tool that can be used, but the goal should be to get rid of cigarettes and then also eventually stop vaping also.
So Dr. Callahan, can you tell me a little bit about your research on vaping and its significance?
This is a really important research study that we're leading at Northwestern Medicine in collaboration with the American Lung Association. It's funded by the National Institutes of Health, and it's a study of 25 to 35 year olds who don't have anything wrong with them. And we're trying to understand why some people develop lung disease and others don't. And it turns out all of the information we have about that question in the United States largely revolves around cigarette smoking in baby boomers. And it doesn't take living in the most age diverse setting to realize that people 25 to 35 could not be more different than baby boomers in lots and lots of ways. But one of the ways is they're exposed to different things. They vape quite a bit. Of the people we've recruited so far in that study, almost 50% have vaped at one point in time, and 25% consider themselves regular vapors. And they're inhaled, they're exposed to other things too. Air pollution has changed. Physical activity and behaviors have changed. What they eat has changed. We're interested in how all those factors impact someone's lung health across their lifetime to really understand in this generation what's going to drive lung disease in the future compared to preserving lung health.
Dr. Callahan, thank you so much for your time.
Great to be here. Thank you.